Through the book of Mark, I became aware of how many times this word amazed, or a similar word, came up regarding Jesus' teachings, his miracles, and just of himself. And if I had to be honest, I remember at the time, as I was reading this, and I kept seeing this word amazed. People were amazed at Jesus, they were amazed at his teachings, amazed at the things he did. If I had to be honest, I'd probably lost something of that amazement, something of the wonder and the awe of who Jesus is, of what he was doing, of his word, etc., etc. And I think it's easy at times as Christians to kind of go through the motions of being a Christian, and even in my case, doing the work of the ministry, which is true of all of us, but we end up doing it with a lack of wonder, lack of awe. And amazement.
Very good.
Ever been there? Yeah. And so as I said, I want to take you on a journey through the book of Mark to see how people were amazed by Jesus, by the things that he did, the things that he said. And I'm trusting, even as we just open up the scriptures and look at this, that there'll be a fresh sense of amazement in us, a fresh sense of wonder and awe at just the awesomeness of who Jesus is, of everything he's done and is doing, and everything that his word means to us. All right. So, three things. We had four last time. We got three, so we're moving progressively down. Firstly, we see how people were amazed by Jesus' teaching. And so, let's go in Mark chapter 1. We'll start Mark 1. And I'm just going to jump around, but from verse 21 and 22, if you are taking any notes, it says, when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Chapter 6, first two verses. Jesus left there and he went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. Chapter 10, 23 through to 26. This is the story of Jesus' interaction with what we often refer to as the rich young ruler. And it says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And this is, of course, after that rich young ruler walked away, because Jesus said, if you want to come follow me, sell everything you've got. It says he left sad. And then Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were even more amazed. I think the ESV says, exceedingly astonished, and said to each other, who then can be saved? And one more for good measure, chapter 11, verse 18, and this was after Jesus clears the temple. Remember that story? It says, the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teachings. And so here's the thing, his teachings amazed then and should continue to amaze now. In fact, I think every time we come to God's word, we should be totally amazed, awestruck, gobsmacked, because of the life and the power that is in God's word, in the words of Jesus and the fullness of God's words. And again, I think Hebrews 4 verse 12 helps us understand that this word is amazing. Why? Because it's living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And that's why there is nothing mundane or ordinary about this book. Can I say, it's the exact opposite of mundane, ordinary, or boring. Eh? There is life and there is power in this book. In fact, every promise in God's word, scripture tells us, is yes and amen in Christ. everyone. Which is why God's word, which is depicted as the sword of the Spirit, is such a powerful weapon in the hands of the believer. And we can never forget that. Huh? This is how Jeremiah describes it. In Jeremiah 15:16, he says, "When your words came, I ate them. I didn't just sit on them. I didn't just kind of taste them." He says, "No, I ate them. I digested them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." In other words, they amazed me. He could have easily have said that as well, man. And so here's the thing. Never lose the wonder of God's word. Don't become over familiar with God's word. But I want to say, let it continually amaze you. No matter how many times you've read it, cover to cover, or read a verse or a chapter, could be the 10th time, let it amaze you even more than the 9th time, eh? Because it's that amazement that will allow God's word to dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. When you lose the amazement for God's word, the desire goes, the appetite for his word goes, and it's not going to dwell richly in you. Eh? Job 23:12. He says, "I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." He has a man who was amazed by God's words. "More than my daily bread, I treasured it." I love that. Psalm 119:97. "Oh, how I love your word. I meditate on it all day long." The more we love it, the more we'll meditate on it, the more we'll embrace it, nourish ourselves on it. Like Jesus said, we can't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what nourishes, that's what sustains us, and that's what amazes us. Eh? And so I do believe God wants to restore, you know, again, something of the passion and the priority, the wonder and the amazement of his word to us again. Eh? And this is not just a book to read from or for us preachers to preach from. No, it's a book that we're called to live in and we're called to live out. Because it's out of this book comes faith. And that's what Paul says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And of course, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Which is why we need to treasure and value faith, which comes from God's word. All right, so that's the first thing that we see. The people were amazed at Jesus' teachings. And I, for one, there have been many seasons where I've lost something of the amazement, something of the wonder of God's word. And God's had to restore that again to me. And I've had to dig deep to again just fall in love with his word and to treasure his word and to eat his word so that it starts to amaze me again. And I want to find time to get into his word because I know the value and the power that comes from it. Eh? All right. But then secondly, we see there was something else that amazed the people. And that was when Jesus began to cast out evil spirits, heal the sick, and do a whole variety or various miracles. And we'll read that now. So back to Mark 1. 23 through to 28. It says, "Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him.' News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee." ESV says his fame spread everywhere. And so again, it was this amazement that caused his name and his fame to be spread everywhere. Because we read that. The people were so amazed at what they were seeing here. And I want to say that's what signs and wonders do. Huh? They point people to Jesus. Because that's what it did here. Who is this man? How is he able to do these things? And any miracle, any display of God's power gets people's attention. And so much so where they fall on their knees and they say, surely God is among us. Huh? 1 Corinthians 14. Let's keep reading. Next chapter, chapter 2, 11 and 12. And this was after Jesus heals a paralytic. And he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. And he got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed, there's that word again, this amazed everyone. And they glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And again, this is what amazement does. It gets us to glorify God. Hey? When we get amazed by what Jesus did through his word, but what he's doing in this day and age now, it should always be so that we glorify God. Let me say, we should never chase after signs. Signs need to follow us. Signs accompany us, the believers. Huh? And so we're not looking for signs and wonders, but rather we're looking for Jesus to be made known and for him to be exalted through signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, we chase after Jesus, not the sign. But the sign always points to Jesus, huh? And gets people's attention. Let's keep reading, chapter 5. We're reading here verse 18 through to 20. And this again is after Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. And it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. ESV says everyone marveled. Let's keep reading. Pick it up in verse 35, same chapter. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And after he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. ESV, overcome with amazement. And I want to say that if we're going to do the works that Jesus did, and according to Jesus, even greater works, then can I say people should be completely astonished. They should be overcome with amazement every time we connect and interact with them because of the life and the power of God that works through us, flowing through us. Why? Because Scripture says the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead resides, lives in us, and works through us. Eh? Which is why God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Eh? And people need to experience something of that in our interaction with them. Because that same Spirit lives in us and works through us. Eh? Which should cause people to equally be completely astonished. Eh? In what we say, how we minister to them, and believing for demonstrations of God's power. Let's read another one here. In chapter 7, we're going to read from verse 31 through to 37. It says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. And after he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him that word, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Got to say, an incredible miracle, eh? Demonstration of the power of God. And Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. Another translation, astonished beyond belief. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm desperate to see things like that.
Desperate, Mark.
Where people will be overwhelmed with amazement at what Jesus is doing in their midst. And can I say what he's doing through us in the power of the Holy Spirit through his people. Huh? And yet, can I say much of the church generally has lost this amazement. And I think it's because we've chosen to play it safe when it comes to believing and trusting for the supernatural.
Huh? Mm.
For the ongoing demonstration of God's power. But you know what? God wants to amaze us again with his power. He wants to restore within us a confidence in his supernatural ability. It's where we give him room again to do what only he can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And yes, sadly, because of maybe some exaggerations or some excesses or even some disappointments in the past. You know, disappointments where God seemingly hasn't come through for you or for someone else, you know? Whether it's a breakthrough or a miracle or a healing or whatever, what has happened is that people and even leaders and churches have shied away from the supernatural. Well, I want to say God wants to restore it again. God wants to restore it again because he hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His desire to release his power and to bring about signs, wonders, and miracles has not changed. So he wants to restore that again. Why? So that your faith and the faith that you of those that you would come into contact with might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. God's power, both for the believer and the unbeliever. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2:5. And so let's never forget Paul's words that he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:20, when he said, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." And I think there's too much talk at times and not enough power. We talk too much about it rather than experience it. God's power. I think God wants to turn that around. Yeah, good to talk about it. Good to build each other up in it. Challenge each other. Sharpen each other. But oh God, we need to see fresh impartations of your power. Absolutely.
We've had seasons where we've seen God grow legs, we've seen muscles that they grow, we've seen God heal cancers, and then it's just been dry. I think what you're saying is right. The church has to be able to offer something to the world that they're not experiencing.
Let's read a couple more and then we'll move on to the third one. Matthew 10:1, he called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 7 and 8, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Don't just preach, but also demonstrate. Preach, yes. But also give opportunity for the power of God. Eh? Mark 16:20, the disciples went and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Preach and power. Eh? And two verses earlier in Mark 16:18, we see this. It says they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Can I say this is and should be normal Christianity. Huh? It's not an optional extra. It's not for the select few. It's not for the super saints. It's what God wants all of us to live in, to experience, and to walk out, huh? To live out. And again, we never want to become like those that Paul spoke of, as having a form of godliness, but denying or being devoid of his power. Because that can so easily happen. And that's why these two aspects of Jesus' ministry, his teaching and his power, have to go hand in hand. And yet too often, again, I cannot say the church has made it one or the other. We're either a word-based church or we're a spirit-filled church. Where did we ever get that? Eh? It's got to be both and. Eh? Yes, we are word-based. Yeah, Mark, yeah. We hold to the truth of God's word. But we also believe for the empowering and the life and the infilling, and the demonstrations of God's power through His Spirit. Eh?
Mm.
Jesus, in fact, hits this very question on the head in Matthew 22:29, where He says to the people, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." You're in error. If you're only focusing on one at the expense of the other, He says you're in error. And that's why it cannot be either or. Huh? It's got to be both and. I remember someone asking, I wasn't there, but I read about it, A.W. Tozer asking him the question, which is more important, God's Word or God's Spirit? He said, well, on an aeroplane, which is more important, the left wing or the right wing? Exactly that. Huh?
Mm, very good.
And that's why we've got to be exposed to both. We've got to be open to both, Word and Spirit. We've got to contend for both. And we've got to be amazed by both. Huh? The Word of God and the power of God.
Huh?
All right. And then third thing we see in this journey through the book of Mark is how the people were amazed at Jesus. And what amazed them was Jesus himself. Huh? Yes, they were amazed at his teachings. We've seen that. They were amazed when he did miracles. But now we see how they were amazed with who he was as a person.
Hmm.
And Mark chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him.
Mm.
I don't know, I like to try and picture some of these things. Mm. You know, can you just imagine? They caught up with all of this, and then they see Jesus, and suddenly their whole attention changes, and they just focus on him. And it says they ran to greet him. Eh?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess the question for myself, the question I'll ask you is, are you still overwhelmed with wonder at Jesus?
Mm.
Or the wonder of Jesus and who he is? Eh? Are you still in your heart running to greet him and to meet with him? Whether it's in your devotions, in worship, in your prayer time, or wherever and whatever, is there still something in your heart that you just cannot wait to be in his presence with him? Because we see that's what they did here. Let's read a couple of chapters on, chapter 12, verse 17. And this is in response to the Pharisees' question of whether they should pay taxes or not. It says, then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him.
Mm.
Not only what he did, they weren't only amazed at what he taught, but yeah, they were amazed at him. And I want to say, let's never lose the wonder of him whom this is all about. Mm-hmm. The things that we so give ourselves to, let's never forget or lose the wonder of the one who is head of all of those things, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Including the church. Remember in Acts 4 verse 13, we read that when the people saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, it says they were astonished. They were caught up with like wonder, realizing and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And so what was it that caused Peter and John to stand out from the crowd? Simply, they'd been with Jesus. Eh?
Mm.
They were amazed at who Jesus is. And I want to say, when we're amazed by the person of Jesus, you know what? People will catch that amazement. And they'll want what we've got.
Yeah.
They'll want what we've got. Eh? But can I say the converse is also true? That should we lose our amazement at Jesus and the wonder of who he is and of his call and of his purpose for our life, how will others ever be amazed by him or want what we've got? Eh? They won't. And I think the reason the world isn't overly amazed by the church, and may I say probably even disillusioned by the church, is because possibly we've lost our amazement,
mm.
our amazement with Jesus. Mm. maybe for some, if we've ever had it in the first place. And so if the world has lost its amazement of the church, or for the head of the church, we have to say, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? It could possibly be ours. But God wants to restore that amazement again. Huh? He wants to wow us again with himself, with his word, and with his power. And here's why. He wants to amaze us, the church, so that he can amaze the world through us. Amaze the world, the unbeliever, through us, his church.
Mm-hmm.
And where we've lost this amazement, I want to say again, God wants to restore it. And yes, for your sake, but not just for your sake, but also so that he can amaze the world through you,
mm-hmm.
through your life, through your demeanor, through what you dispense him to the mm-hmm. world, in both word and deed, and of course in the power of God. Eh? Isaiah 49:3. And hear this for yourself, God speaking, you are my servant in whom I will display my splendor. God wants to display his splendor through us. Eh? He wants mm-hmm. to amaze the world through you and I. And so maybe it is, if you have to be honest, as you sit here this morning, maybe you've lost something of the wonder of who Jesus is. That which once burned so bright, maybe has grown dim in your life. Or maybe his word and his teaching no longer excite you. They're just words on a page. Or possibly it is, maybe that your hunger for the supernatural has waned in your life. And you've lost something of that hunger and that desire to see God's power at work and at play. Well, I believe God wants to stir that up again. Eh? God wants to stir it. Yes, certainly, hopefully through what I've shared today will just spark something in you and create a fresh appetite for more of him, more of his word, and more of his power. But he wants you to be amazed again. Eh? Because he wants to amaze the world through you.
Yeah.
He really does.
Mm.
And I'd love to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where you are in any of those areas. This is where Nick's going to play his air guitar. But I just felt, you know, it'd be great just for some ministry. And I know time is probably caught, but just to be able to pray for you, whether it's individually or just collectively. And just allow just the Holy Spirit to come and just stir afresh something again of the wonder of who Jesus is, the wonder and the beauty and the magnificence of his word, of just what he wants to do. Hey? This fresh amazement. Hey? So we're good for that?
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Yeah.